You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Well, my question is more of, and this was widely talked about, and that's what makes this kind of fun is, would you have called it if you're the coach?
I was just about to ask that.
Yeah. If you're the coach, yep. Would you have called a timeout? And and I get, you know, if Murray makes that shot, we're all saying Michael Malone's a genius.
Yeah. Yeah.
But because he missed it, this brings in a whole thing of asking, why didn't you call a timeout and set up a shot for Jokic, the two-time MVP, to make a shot? Because he is a clutch shooter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I also think from that same perspective, Murray did have two or three three-pointers leading up to that point to get us even back in the game.
Right.
So he was feeling it.
Yeah.
I just wonder, is there a better shot that could be set up? And here's what I honestly wonder is, everyone talks about Spoelstra being the best coach in the NBA. And he's shown even last night that he is a good coach. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were trapping at the end of the game in the fourth quarter, and the ball pressure was really strong, and they were blitzing certain people during the game. I thought Spoelstra had a really good coaching game for game two. And I'm just wondering if Michael Malone can match that coaching. And I've that to me has not been answered. So I don't know. Is there a play that they felt like they could have gotten out of an out-of-bounds play that would have been an easier shot than Jamal bringing up the shot without the defense getting set? And so, to me, those are the questions that I wonder. Interesting enough, and I'll end this part of it with this thought, which I just think is so ludicrous, and it makes me laugh. George Karl came out after the game and said that Malone should have taken a timeout. And I just want to say, George, are you serious, man? Are you freaking serious that you have the audacity to second guess this dude after what you did with Anthony Carter? Not once, but twice.
Who was in the crowd last night, mind you.
On inbound passes. Are you serious, my main man?
Yeah.
Like, come on.
We all remember 2009.
Yeah, dude, zip it. Zip it. You have zero credibility. Zip. Nada. Niet. Nothing. Don't even think about it, my man. Like, keep your Twitter or your tweet to yourself, brother. Like, I don't care what you say, George, and please stop. And I'm the harshest person that Michael Malone has as a critic, but I don't need to hear from you, George. So I said my piece. I feel better. See, Jeremy, I told you I needed a therapy session.
Amen. Wow. Okay. Well,
yeah, and, sorry.
And, wow. And just to say, it is the irony of that. Like I was just saying, Anthony Carter is one of the assistant coaches on the Heat.
No,
I'm telling you, if you go look it up, like last night in the game, when they were panning over the bench, Anthony Carter was sitting right there.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yes, he was sitting right there. And I'm thinking, dude, I wonder how he feels like right now just watching this. But no, that is hilarious. And Nelson, I hope you understand. I'm going to clip that out. Okay. that's going to be a clip, because I think that. And even it's even interesting enough, you know, because I even saw George Karl on Twitter earlier today. And I think Kenyon Martin did something on FanDuel TV, and he was talking about the Nuggets in 2006 when they played against the Clippers in the playoffs. Right. And he had this whole back and forth with him and George Karl. it is those two guys will
they hate each other.
Like, yeah, they and, Kenyon and, Martin wants to fight him. Like, it's yeah. insane.
And J.R. Smith too, with his like, oh yeah, we don't have any out of bounds plays. And
the team will always, well, those guys in particular, they'll always have something against George Karl. They always felt like he was the reason that they didn't get over that hump.
And I don't really care for Carmelo Anthony. And I know that's another subject, but to give Carmelo credit, he's never gotten into the fray about George Karl. He's really never gone to that side of things because he's had plenty of reason to respond to George because George has been really critical of Carmelo. Mm-hmm. And Carmelo, I give him a ton of credit for being the bigger person and not saying anything back. And that takes a lot, man, to not respond in that way. And Carmelo showed a lot of class in my mind by just kind of deferring and not really saying anything back. And I kind of like that, actually.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I saw that recently, too, because did you guys see when Carmelo retired? Mm-hmm. George Karl made a post about him, right? And in the post, he was like he's celebrating him, quote unquote. But then there's like a backhanded compliment where he's like, definitely a top 10 Nugget of all time. Now, for us that know the Nuggets, listen. Yes, I understand you got names, obviously Nikola Jokic, Alex English, like Fat Lever. Like there's names that you can have.
Dan Issel.
Like you can have these names in front of Carmelo, but to say top 10, like come on. And then, but all the people in the comments were just like, coach, but Carmelo saw the tweet and he just responded. And all he said was, thank you, coach. Yeah. And that was it.
That's really nice.
So exactly to confirm exactly what you just said, that just happened a week and a half ago or last week or whenever Carmelo retired. Yeah. Right. So
that's really classy.
So yeah, he just straight up, he was just like, you know what? I'm not even going to get into it, but I'm telling you, if you look at the original post, all of the comments were like, yo, why are you throwing shade at Carmelo on a retirement post? Because everybody knew what it was.
Right.
You know? So I just thought that was pretty funny. Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely a dig. But Jack, to just go back to that point, of even with the timeout that you guys were talking about.
Yeah,
I think in that moment, I really didn't even think about the timeout until the game was over.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I'll be honest with you. I was just so Nelson, exactly what you said, because I had just seen, you know, Jamal Murray hit a couple shots. And we know what happens when he starts getting hot. Right. It was just like in my mind. Yes. In retrospect, sure. It you could look at it as an option. But then in my mind, it was just like, I'm just watching the game. I'm just like, dude, okay, he has 3 seconds left. He has the ball. Boom. I personally did not even look to even see if there was a timeout available until after, when everybody was just like, dude, why didn't you call a timeout? But then that's kind of, it's a hindsight 2020 situation, right? Like, we all think about that after the fact, because it's like, dude, we could have had another opportunity to drop a play, blah, blah, blah. But you said it, Nelson, had that shot went in, we don't have this conversation. Right. So it's just one of those things in the moment where, I mean, Jamal wasn't having the best game prior to that, because I think you said it about Eric Spoelstra. Right. And he is a really good coach. And I think he does really well with making adjustments. I do think that them starting Kevin Love and then allowing Jimmy Butler to focus on Jamal Murray a lot more, and then allowing with that defensive setup for them to send those blitzes, like you mentioned, at Jamal Murray, and having to make him. I mean, there's a reason that he has 10 assists in the past two games, right? They are trying to play a particular defense against him in particular. And I don't know if you guys saw the post-game press conference where I believe it was Ramona Shelburne that had asked Eric Spoelstra, like, hey, so was the game plan for you guys to turn Jokic into a scorer and not a passer? And, like, immediately you could see the reaction from him. He was like, oh boy. He's like, this is a two-time MVP. You really think that our game plan was do this or do that with him? Like, and listen, I understand a lot of that has to do with not wanting to give out much information. But as a coach and as a coach who respects Nikola Jokic, even as the opponent coach, right? Come on, like, come on.
But that's what we just talked about. That is maybe his kryptonite.
Yeah,
is not involving other players to have them be effective in the game. And many people have talked about, and the pundits out there have talked about, what do we do? Do we make him just a scorer and live with him not being the facilitator? And they did that. So for Spoelstra to get mad at that says either A, he really did try to do that, right? And she blew his cover. Or B, he's just feeding us a line of crap anyways. I don't really know which one it is, but the bottom line is that that's worked in the past. They've lost games when he's been that scorer. I did think it was a nice little rub thing when Van Gundy, who I'm also not a huge fan of, either him or Mark Jackson, actually, I've gone through all these steps. Of first, it was Spiro Dedes, and now it's Mark Jackson and Van Gundy. I cannot stand them. I think Bream is such a great play-by-play guy, but I can't deal with those two knuckleheads anymore. Yeah. Anyways, Van Gundy at the end of the game said, "Oh, he had 41 points and only 4 assists." Like, it was a little jab. And I'm just dude, really? Like
he controls the fact that his teammates can make shots or not.
Didn't make shots. What a clown.
Yeah.
What a clown.
That is so stupid, man. It's because it's not like he wasn't passing. Like, think about it. Like, I even tweeted about it in the first half when Jokic went up and he did, like, the hook. Bro, he did a hook shot pass to Aaron Gordon. It was so beautiful. It's like he did so many plays like that. And you're sitting there like, he is trying to get his teammates involved. He didn't tell Michael Porter not to hit his wide open shots. He didn't tell Jamal Murray on a pick and roll to miss his mid-range. Like, come on now. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So, Jack, I'm killing you here, by the way, and I apologize because I'm flapping my gums and not letting you talk.
No.
I apologize. Or maybe I can phrase a question. What did you guys think? Instead of me jabbing, I'll ask the question. What did you think of KCP's performance in the game? And specifically, 2 defensive plays. Jack Ballsley, tell it like it is, buddy. Let's hear it.
I mean, disappointing. I feel like him and MPJ, of course, a little bit worse, but like their shooting, kind of how you were talking about earlier, just like that you can accept the shooting if their defense is up to par, but when their defense is failing, like we saw, has he ever fouled out of a game?
Not to my knowledge. I don't think so.
It was such a random player to foul out, but I mean, like when his plays, of course, yes, but like, just it was weird. Very like, if you told me going into the game that KCP was going to be the one to foul out and be like, I don't think they've had a guy foul out since Minnesota, which is anyways. It's really disappointing. I mean, he only took 4 shots, and it granted, again, that kind of goes into the Jokic taking over, but at the same time, I mean, if you're only taking 4 shots, that means that you're also just not getting the ball. And I don't know if it was more of a disconnect there or what, but I was really disappointed on both ends of the floor for him. And I just think that, I don't know, I need to see that Suns KCP in game six. Man, I think that's the weirdest part about some of these guys. And of course, Aaron Gordon played very consistent to Aaron Gordon, so I can't really complain about his performance. But I think that some of these guys, like, it's just really, it's tough because they're either really hot or really cold. And granted, you could say that about every team, but I just feel like, especially with MPJ, we've just seen that just too much for comfort. KCP, it's more, he isn't the main scorer and he's not even the top third scorer. So it's like, That's why if he's only taken four shots, I'm disappointed, but I'm not like, what is happening? It's but like when you see guys like MPJ take shots like that, it or mess up like that, especially defensively, to your point, Nelson, of talking about the defense, I just think like it's just it's tough to when it's like, okay, when should someone come in? Because yeah. as Jeremy, as you mentioned, they're paying him a max contract. So like you can't not, and I think that was Tim Connolly's you know what finger before he left. But but you know, I just think that it's just it's really tough because I don't know. I was about to say is because I was gonna talk about this at one point. It's just funny because you know, people you know go in saying, well, they're not gonna shoot like that again. But the Heat's been doing this all playoffs. Like they've had multiple 40, I mean they were at 48.6, but multiple 45 plus point three-pointer games.
That's what they do.
So it's like, I don't know. It kind of goes back to Malone, at least defensively, of more like, you know, they do this. Spoelstra's giving you 20,000 different looks and you can't count. And like, it's just, it's not so much like he can't counter anything, but it's more like he can't switch anything up. And I think he just plays by his book just so much. And we've talked about that so much, especially when they're on a little bit of a losing streak. So we don't really have to rehash that, but I just think it was more that, you know, the defense was really just, it was just subpar. And I think it's just, it's really more about that overarching, like they were just so complacent with where they were at that I think they just got too comfortable, which is really weird. And I was going to point this out in the beginning. So I'm sorry, I was tardy. after game one, during Malone's like defensive player of the game speech, I always love watching those. None of them seemed happy. Like in a good way, in like a we're not done way, which I was like, okay, this is going to be great. It seems like they're just that much more motivated to go into game two. So I don't know what happened between that and the start and end, I guess the whole end of game two as well. Like, I don't know what happened there because they seem so like this is just one win. But now it seems like, I don't know, they I don't even know if it was cockiness. Like it was just, I think it, to me, it was even more just sluggish than anything. Yeah. But then what the hell happened with Max Strus going 0 for 10 and then going, what was it, 4 for 5 in the first quarter or something like that? And, of course, he finished 4 for 10, so it's not like he dominated the whole game. But when I started that game, I had to, like, do the cartoon double blink of, like, is that who's making all those shots?